A coalition of people opposing a massive transmission line project in the Driftless region have sued to stop it from being constructed. It's Wednesday, June 17th. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Courtney Everett. Coming up, Trump allies plead not guilty to charges related to the 2020 election. And could state legislators try again to pass a tax rebate and school spending bill? The Senate's Democratic leader says no one has asked her.
I never say never, but my door is always open if people have a different proposal they want to talk with us about or a way to maybe get to something. I'm always all ears for stuff like that.
Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Elkins, and I'm hosting a Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin-sponsored tour with Holiday Vacations. This fall, 2026, we'll cruise the musical Danube River, starting in Budapest and then sailing aboard an Amadeus ship to Vienna and Salzburg, and ending in Prague. Join us for this incredible journey. Our adventure begins at wpr.org/travel.
Developers say a major power project in Wisconsin's Driftless area could help the Midwest power grid. Avery Martinez says landowners have filed a lawsuit over potential impacts of the Maribel project.
The Dairyland Power Cooperative says the improvements stretching from Minnesota to Wisconsin will help the power grid, but they require bigger power poles and heavier wire. Locals like Tim Woodhouse are worried about environmental impact and potential eminent domain challenges.
It's a hard pill to swallow, but I personally don't feel like my farm will sustain this.
Woodhouse is part of a coalition whose lawsuit wants to stop the project.
We've got farm background, city background. I call them weekend warriors.
He feels his concerns about property values and safety haven't been addressed by developers. He's also worried about impacts to small communities. Dairyland has held listening sessions and says they want to work with communities. Avery Martinez, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Madison's Independent Police Monitor is disputing the official cause of death of a man who died in 2024. The office opened its own investigation following a complaint from Gloria Johnson Vincent. Her son, Richard Johnson, died after being arrested by Madison police after allegedly stealing a vehicle. At a news conference this week, she said her family deserves answers.
No family should have to fight for transparency while mourning a loved one. No mother should have to beg for the truth about what happened to her child.
The Dane County Medical Examiner's Office previously found that Johnson died of cocaine toxicity, but a forensic pathologist hired by the police found that while cocaine may have contributed to Johnson's death, it was not the cause. That pathologist concluded that Johnson died of cardiac arrest because of the way he was tackled and restrained by police. Madison's police chief has called Johnson's death incredibly tragic, but says the officers involved followed proper procedures. Senate Minority Leader Dianne Hesselbein says she's willing to revisit negotiations about spending the state surplus. But as Anya Van Wagt and Donk reports, she says those conversations are not happening.
At a lunchtime event in Madison, Hesselbein said she'd opposed a recent plan to spend the state surplus on tax rebates and school funding because it would not have been sustainable. Since that deal fell apart, other leaders have said they'd consider coming back to debate some new compromise. Hesselbein says she's open to that, too.
I never say never, but my door is always open if people have a different proposal they want to talk with us about or a way to maybe get to something. I'm always all ears for stuff like that.
But she added that no one's come to her about that yet. Senate Democrats were not included in the last round of negotiations either. Hesselbein also said she's hopeful that a competitive Democratic primary will help her party clinch the governor's race. Anya Van Wagt and Donk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Wisconsin-based architect of the 2020 fake elector scheme pleaded not guilty to felony forgery charges yesterday. Jim Troupas faces 11 counts of using false documents to claim falsely that President Donald Trump won Wisconsin in 2020. Troupas, who served as Trump's Wisconsin campaign lawyer that year, entered his plea in Dane County Court. Two other defendants, lawyer Ken Chesbro and campaign aide Michael Roman, were arraigned virtually. They also pleaded not guilty. Troupas and Chesbro previously settled a civil case against them for their actions. This criminal case began when the Department of Justice filed charges in 2024. Milwaukee County leaders are looking to reallocate federal funding to provide rental assistance for homeless people. Evan Casey has more on what leaders say would be the largest single investment in homelessness in history of the county.
Milwaukee County's tenant-based rental assistance program helps pay for the security deposits in rental assistance for homeless people. James Maffey is the county's housing administrator.
Due to dramatic rising rents that we have to pay, we have not been able to issue new vouchers, and we're in what's called a shortfall, meaning we just do not have the money to issue new Section 8 vouchers.
On Monday, a county committee moved to reallocate $2.5 million in federal funding to prevent more people from going unsheltered. The full county board still has to vote on it. In a statement, County Executive David Crowley said the move will, quote, connect unsheltered residents to housing and supportive services. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
After a vote of no confidence, Door County leaders are trying to mend fences between the local sheriff and the union representing deputies. The county's administrative committee discussed the union's no confidence vote against Sheriff Tammy Sternard yesterday, but took no action. Door County Corporation Counsel Sean Donahue says county leaders wanted to keep board members in the loop on efforts to improve communication between the sheriff and union.
They need to work out their differences, whether the issues are perceived or real. Perception can become reality sometimes, and they just need to walk through that.
In a letter to the sheriff, the union said the no confidence vote was in response to a host of concerns. They include staffing shortages, as well as the sheriff being absent and major law enforcement incidents and not attending monthly public safety meetings with county officials. Sternard has called those allegations baseless. Coming up after the break, we'll pay a visit to a Wisconsin Museum of Cat Figurines. Stay with us.
Wisconsin life is about the food.
Tacos.
Who doesn't love a taco?
Exactly.
Everybody says, oh, this tastes good. How do you season it? Oh, we can't tell you. Just eat some more.
I wish my lemonade would be so famous that I could just walk down a red carpet.
Wisconsin Life, every Wednesday and Friday on WPR News and at wisconsinlife.org.
It's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum about a unique museum in the Milwaukee area.
Cats are special companions to many people, including Sean and Hillary Redner. The couple love cats so much, they created Redner's Rescued Cat Figurine Museum, where they display thousands of cat-related figurines from around the world. WPR producer and cat lover Trina LaSousa ventured to Menominee Falls to check out the collection.
That is cool.
Yeah, that's Alice in Wonderland.
That's what I thought.
This one Cheshire is Alice with the little rabbit. Pretty neat. Now we're going to have to make room in Jan's cabinet.
That's Hillary and Sean Redner opening a package of cat-themed teapots sent to them from Hollywood, California. Getting packages like this happens regularly since they transformed their Menominee Falls home into Redner's Rescued Cat Figurine Museum. They started this as a personal collection back in 2018. Then after some media attention, Sean says fans started sending their own cat-themed items from all around the world.
This was the first collection that showed up. Cheryl Peters contacted us and sent me the phone number, and we got on the phone, and she's like, I'm old, my kids don't want my stuff, I've been collecting this since the 70s, will you take care of it for me? I was like, well, sure. She goes, no, I need you to take care of it for me. And she started to get, like, forceful. I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, I had no idea what was coming. So everything in this cabinet but those two jewelry boxes has come from Lauai, Hawaii.
Inside the museum are thousands of cat statues, cookie jars, plates, pieces of artwork, nearly every cat-related decoration you could dream of. Sean says most of the cat museum's items are either bought from secondhand thrift stores or shared by fellow cat enthusiasts. They hope to someday beat the Guinness Book of World Records for the most unique cat-related items, which currently stands at 21,000 cats.
It's unbelievable the amount of cat stuff that is out there, you know, and it's we're not even close to finding it all.
The museum is also home to 9 friendly rescued cats. And believe it or not, the cats have not damaged any of the items. Sean says all of the pieces are protected in cabinets or secured to the walls.
Knock on wood, they're really actually pretty good. We get that question a lot. But as you can see, almost everything is locked up. We have one cat, Batgirl, who's probably hiding in the house that's been going up and like being curious, but I'm hoping it's too crowded.
Donated collections have the original owner's name and location alongside the display. Some of the donations even come with letters. Here, Hillary reads a note from Heather Sweeten of Illinois, who donated nearly 100 cat thimbles.
To the folks of Rudner's Rescued Cat Figurine Museum, I am thrilled that my cat thimble collection will have a wonderful new home in your museum, on display for others to see.
Sean says the cat collecting started back in 2018 at a St. Vincent de Paul store in West Dallas. He rescued a framed photo of a cat named Taffy.
It says right on the back she lived from 1960 to 1970. The picture was taken in October of 1967. So I put it back, and I'm like, this is weird. And then I was like, wait a minute. There was Vietnam and the moon landing and what was happening in this house while this cat was bouncing around. I'm like, I'm bringing that home. And now in our museum, we have a whole wall of other people's cats.
Sean and Hillary started Redner's Rescued Cat Figurine Museum to help support cats. They donate 100% of visitor donations to feline rescues in Wisconsin. To date, about $3,000 has been raised.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. What's new?
WPR's Trina LaSousa brought us that story on Redner's Rescued Cat Figurine Museum. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lola and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And now for a look at the forecast on this Wednesday. Mainly cloudy with occasional rain. Thunderstorms are also possible in the south with some hail and gusty winds. Expect highs around the mid-60s. And then tonight, spotty showers early with some clouds lingering. Expect lows in the mid-40s north to low 50s south. And then tomorrow, sun breaks and breezy. A few patches of sprinkles or drizzle possible with highs expected in the upper 60s to low 70s. Thanks so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm Courtney Everett, filling in for Alex Crow. We really appreciate you stopping to listen to the Wisconsin Today Morning News podcast. Be sure to check us out tomorrow.